And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. Text messages, let me grab a few of these before we run out of time. The number is here, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And Trina from Elkmont says, wonder if that's what happened at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Bring your kids to work day. That's what I'm saying. I think bring your kids to work day is a great thing, depending upon where you work.
I think perhaps we should consider legislation. If you work someplace that can cause an apocalypse, you should not have a family work day.
Yes. If there are places in the world that build shelters against the things that you work with, maybe leave the kids at home. Just saying. Rugrats, nuclear reactors, virulent strains of viruses.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Thomas from Athens says, all right, maybe conspiracy theory, maybe not. But Dan Bongino joined the dots of U.S.-Ukraine funding, the CR, vote delay because of a backroom deal McCarthy had made, what files Ukraine might have on Biden, possibly payoffs. Okay. All right. Thank you for repeating the entire Dan Bongino show for me, Thomas. But I'm looking at it going, you know what? It could be. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that Zelensky has pictures of Biden tucked away in a drawer. And he's just made it clear that the money keeps coming or they go up on YouTube. Who knows? I didn't start that rumor. I just postulated. Got a brand new one here, and I appreciate the heads up. I've actually texted a couple of people today. So texter is Scott, I believe. So we got a brand new texter named Scott, but he says Phil and Boomer, which is Phil and Butters for today. But Phil and Boomer, today's the 30th anniversary of the Battle of Mogadishu for those who gave it all, the bravest men I've ever served with. Scott, Delta Company, 1st 160th SOAR, that's Special Operations Aviation Regiment, 2nd Flight. Man, first of all, Scott, appreciate your service. And if you were a Night Stalker, then doubly appreciate it because you guys are the heat. But you're right. I saw that earlier, and I know two other guys that were there that day, and I've already texted them to tell them that it is not forgotten. And so, yeah, 30 years ago today, Black Hawk Down, the Battle of Mogadishu, lost a bunch of Rangers and several Delta and members of the 160th. So those were some fine men in a bad place. And let me tell you, yes, we lost some, but by God, they made themselves known that day, and it was it was a long, 27 hours, I think, until they were rescued. Scott, thanks for the reminder to say it on the air. So there it is, and thanks for your service. Craig from Huntsville says, where in this conversation about Bowman will we bring up that Bowman was attempting to interrupt Congress performing its function? How many J6? Well, I thought I did bring it up, but if I didn't bring it up clear enough for you, let me do it right now. By the way, Bowman was trying to interdict and interrupt the flow of Congress, which is exactly what people on January 6th are being convicted of. Craig, if I didn't say it boldly enough, there you have it, but I agree with you. He was apparently a one-man insurrection. That's what was happening. I feel certain. Because we all know that some of the convictions from the January 6th, like of people that weren't even there, like the, it's just awful. I mean, there were people that are spending the next 20 years in jail. There's one guy, I'll get his name in a minute, but forgive me. But anyway, they said that he was basically a collaborator by encouraging people on Facebook, and he wasn't even present, and he's spending 20 years in jail. There were others whose phones were tracked to show that they were in the area who at the very least dealt with harassment from the government. There are people whose lives have been ruined. There are people who have been held without due process and are still being held. As if in some way, by the way, did government go away that day? No. Did anyone come in there guns a-blazing? That would be a no. January 6th was not an insurrection. And by the way, the U.S. Code defines insurrection. So stop using the word because this does not meet the legal definition. Anyway, there you go. Craig, thank you for pushing my buttons. I'm looking up at the screen, by the way. Let me change gears on you. Kevin McCarthy's future as a speaker is doubtful right now, I'll be honest. It is neck and neck. So right now, he is barely winning. The vote to oust Speaker McCarthy, brought by Matt Gaetz, survived a procedural hurdle. Then it survived a motion to table, and then it went through debate, and then the question was called, and they are now doing a roll call vote where the clerk of the House is having to actually call the individual names. And you don't often see this. I mean, oftentimes you'll see on C-SPAN if somebody is speaking that the room is fairly empty because people run back and forth to their offices to either bring their time for debate or to bring their vote. And when the time for a vote is called, they're usually called with a half hour or so to get there because they don't all work in the building. In fact, they don't work in the building. But what's happening right now is you can watch it. The gallery is fairly full. I mean, the members of the House are all present. And the vote is 147 to 145. Y'all, right now, it's 147 saying, no, let's keep the speaker. And 145 are saying, yeah, let's get rid of him. That's about as close as it gets. And the votes will go on for a while longer. We'll update you as it goes. In the meantime, we're going to switch gears. When we get back, I'm going to go into a topic I call 2020 hindsight. Things that people did or said, and later on you realize, yeah, we can look back now and realize that wasn't a good idea. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about, y'all, listen, this show, we go way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go on, let me just remind you guys. So you hear the ads that play during the breaks, right? Of course you do. And you hear those ads, let me just tell you, that's how Right Side Radio, in part, stays around. I mean, so we are a standalone entity. We're a business like many other businesses. We have to have our ability to support ourselves, and part of the way we do that is by selling ads. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, if you're listening, you're thinking, man, those guys talk like me, they think like me, they say the stuff I'm thinking, and you want your business aligned with that, we'd love to have you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you believe that and your business does too, there's a bunch of Right Side ruffians out here that also might wind up being your customers. So if you'd like to advertise on Right Side Radio, the way you do it, you don't call the station, you have to call us. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And click on the advertising and contact tab. Just send us a message. Y'all, we will get back to you as quick as possible. Send us a message, rightsideradio.org, and advertise on the show. We would love to have you on the team. All right, so I'm going into the next section here. I'm calling this 2020 hindsight. Like, so when I'm getting ready for the show this morning, I found a story and I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense now, doesn't it? Then I find another one, I'm thinking, oh, you didn't see that coming? And then I find another one, I'm thinking, well, hindsight's 2020. And I realize I've got a whole segment brewing here on things and policies and just bad decisions that you look back on and go, well, dang. I guess hindsight really is 2020. Here's the first one. Actually, I got two stories that kind of go together. This is gonna make some of y'all mad. I know how many green suitors and veterans I've got out there right now in this audience. And then, of course, we got Butters and I both here in the studio that are veterans. And I'm just going to tell you right now, this one just ticks me off. So, story here on military.com. In fact, the first two stories I got came from military.com, not always known for being a conservative venue for news, if you know what I'm saying. They might quickly tell you how to use your pronouns in uniform, but no. This story, Pentagon warns Congress it is running low on money to replace the weapons that it sent to Ukraine. Okay, so here's what's happening. We are draining and depleting our war stocks quicker than we can replenish them in order to get Ukraine, you know, backstopped against the Russian invasion. Now, I don't want Russia to win. I don't. But we can't sacrifice ourselves in the process. And here's where we are. Story here dated yesterday. The Pentagon is warning Congress that it is running low on money to replace weapons the U.S. has sent to Ukraine and has already been forced to slow down resupplying some troops, according to a letter sent to congressional leaders. The letter obtained by the AP urges Congress to replenish funding for Ukraine. And I found myself thinking, what are you talking about? The story is ostensibly about the fact that U.S. readiness is at stake. But the letter then urged the funding of Ukraine. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they're mixing our replenishment of stocks in with the aid to Ukraine. Why would we do that? And you look back on this and go, okay, you know, in looking back, I can see where maybe we should have seen this coming. That's not good, y'all. Pentagon Comptroller Michael McCord told House and Senate leaders there's $1.6 billion left of the $25 billion that Congress provided to replenish U.S. military stocks. So what they're saying is within the Ukraine aid, there was also funding to send immediately to Ukraine things that we have in stock and the money then to replenish it, except that the ability to replenish it is not going like they'd planned. So our war stocks are critically low. And not a little bit. The Pentagon comptroller himself said, here's his quote, "We have already been forced to slow down the replenishment of our own forces to hedge against an uncertain funding future. Failure to replenish our military services on a timely basis could harm our military readiness." That's the comptroller from the Pentagon writing a letter to Congress. Why? Because we have burned through our own stock. I don't know that I've ever seen this. I mean, granted, we have provided military assistance to other nations since we became a nation. I mean, we started off, by the way, winning the Revolutionary War with assistance from France. So it's not like this is not a thing, right? But that being said, when have you ever seen a country degrade its own readiness and not even be in the war? I mean, I get it if we're depleting our war stocks because we're the ones, you know, pulling the lanyard on the howitzers, right? I get it if we're depleting our war stocks because we're the ones flying the planes and we're out of JP fuel. I get it if we're unable to, you know, to get beans and bullets to the front lines for our troops. What I don't get is when the next article comes up and I look at it and say, you know what? It's not just beans and bullets. It's not. Story on military.com dated 4 days ago. The Marines are now authorized to wear desert pattern uniforms at the commander's discretion against a camouflage shortage. What you're seeing here is so basically, and we could get into a long discussion about the fact that every service has to have a different uniform. I mean, okay, but anyway, waste, fraud, and abuse. But anyway, Marine Corps commanders down to the battalion and squadron level are now authorized to allow troops to wear desert pattern uniforms or flame-resistant gear known as frogs amid an ongoing uniform shortage in the service. What are we saying here? The duty uniform or the field uniform for Marines is called MARPAT, the Marine Pattern Uniforms, all right? They're out. They don't have enough to give everybody their basic issue. Marines coming through Paris Island or out at, you know Pendleton aren't getting their full issue right now. They would normally have been issued, every single one of them would have been issued, where is it here? It says how many they get. But they would have normally been issued, they would have normally been issued 3 duty uniforms in MARPAT and 2 of what they call frogs, which if you've seen them are like the combat shirts. They look like it's a dry fit in the middle, but it's got the regular uniform sleeves down the side. It's designed to be worn under your body armor. But they don't have enough. And so now, instead of having standardization throughout, there's going to be days when they're going to authorize the wear of something else because people don't have enough MARPAT uniforms. They can't issue them to the troops. This is ridiculous. The very idea... I mean, I get it if you're running out of tanks And I get it if we've degraded to the point that we don't have enough howitzer rounds to, I don't get it in a good way. What I'm saying is I understand why it would be that we'd be sending so much over to Ukraine that maybe we cut back on live fire exercises and spend more time in simulations and dry fires. But we're not even talking about that. We're talking about friggin' basic issue items like a uniform. Is there anything more military and common to the military than just a uniform? That's why it's called a uniform, because of uniformity. And right now, the Marines don't have it. And that story is fresh. And I'm looking on this thinking, hindsight 2020, maybe when we started depleting all of our own stocks and sending everything to Ukraine, we might have seen that something was, you know, maybe going to be difficult. What do you think? I see your look on your face over there. What are you doing?
I go back to when I was here the other day and we were talking about Taiwan and how do all the dots get connected and what does this impact our ability, you know, if escalates.
If anything happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Guam fights back, you know, I mean, I'm saying if anything happens, the contingencies right now, you got to look at, and granted, they can always, you know, they can always convert the U.S.'s industrial base to military purposes if they have to. You don't want to see them have to step in and do that. But right now, they can't keep up. And so, yeah, if a contingency happens overnight, we're going to have our log trains are going to be a little short. Let's put it that way. Just saying. But, yeah, that's a 2020 hindsight issue. And I look at it and think somebody, I don't know, maybe General Milley. Maybe General Milley should have said, hey, fellas, let's make sure that we keep X amount in stock at all times. But it's okay. He retired with honors.
Yeah, I bet there's a pretty solid travel budget for going around doing transgender training for all of our service members.
That's true. So, I guess if Tommy Tuberville had gotten out of the way and we'd been able to convert – or confirm more of these general officers to a higher rank, we might have had more uniforms and readiness issues would have been resolved. What do you think?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Let's take a break. Let's take a break about a minute earlier than usual. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I got a few more of these that'll be in a slightly different tone, but they will also be, by the way, one of those things where you look at it and go, maybe you should have seen that coming. That's right. We're talking about 2020 hindsight. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be back momentarily. Back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, breaking news, we're going to go ahead and tell you right now that as of about 2 minutes ago, Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy has been ousted on a final vote of 216 to 210. There were 8 Republicans that joined the Democrats to oust him as Speaker. Y'all, that's about as close as it gets in the world of politics. I mean, you can have a one-vote margin. You can have somebody be a tiebreaker, but the reality is this is a huge, huge deal. I got mixed feelings on it, I'll be honest. I'm looking at it right now thinking, okay, Lord, we're about to have some chaos here. So the House is now in recess, subject to the call of the chair, which means that I'm assuming the Speaker Pro Tem, whose name escapes me right now, will be the person who recalls the House for continuing order of business. And I don't know what that is. And I guess we're going to have to get somebody from the delegation on the show here in the next very near term to tell us how these things proceed. This is big doings, y'all. And I think it's only been a couple of times in U.S. history, John Boehner being one, when basically you saw a speaker ousted well before the timing of a typical organizational vote. This is the kind of thing, electing a speaker, and you all saw it, and you saw how hard it was for Kevin McCarthy to gain the speakership. They had vote after vote after vote. Matt Gaetz was the holdout in that one. Matt Gaetz is the one who brought the vote this time, brought the motion this time to have him ousted. Matt Gaetz is on Capitol Hill right now, swarmed by the press, holding an aftermath press conference on the steps of the Capitol. And like I said, I got mixed feelings on this. I didn't get to hear any of the debate. I'd love to have heard anecdotal debate moments as to why somebody did or did not think this should happen. But here's what is going to happen. We're going to have the power struggles that have been happening in the back room are about to get very public. You're about to see a measure of power brokerage and posturing, the likes of which we rarely see in U.S. politics. U.S. politics is usually on the surface contentious to a level, but is not fractious. It's usually something that's like the debate is back and forth and the sound bites happen, but you don't. We're about to see the political version of fisticuffs here, as there are going to be members right now who are pissed at Matt Gaetz and the eight Republicans, and I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to assume that they were eight Republicans from the Freedom Caucus, which I am generally very much in favor of the Freedom Caucus, so that's why I am not rushing to judgment on this, because I got mixed feelings about unseating a speaker right now, but then again, I also recognize that there's some serious angst here. I mean, it's a little galling that they hold a majority. They are able to do the things they're doing with subpoena power. They're able to get some things going, but then they're still spending like drunken sailors, and they passed a continuing resolution with nothing in it for the border. And what we're hearing right now is that some are saying that Speaker McCarthy had really done, not so much to go out there and build his relationships with the members of his narrow majority with whom he was not already strong. I mean, he had his allies, he had his base, he had his own, he had the people who brought him to the position of being speaker, but he didn't have the Freedom Caucus on a daily basis. Although I saw just this morning, Representative Chip Roy, who I love Chip Roy. That guy's a firebrand. He's a dragon breathing fire on a regular basis. He brings some of the best conservative talking points right off the floor of the House, like of anybody I've ever seen. But he's a true believer. He believes in what he's doing. Chip Roy said this morning he would be voting to support Speaker McCarthy. He did not believe it was a time to unseat and build unrest within the narrow Republican majority. So here we are, man. In the middle of everything we got going on, now we got to figure out who the new speaker is. Who would you want it to be? I'm a personal fan of Byron Donalds. I think that, within House leadership, Gary Palmer from Alabama is like fourth or fifth in line right now in the House Republican caucus. That's interesting. There's some who say, and Dale Jackson said it a moment ago, you don't have to be a member of the body by law to be speaker. So I am watching for someone to make the nomination that Donald Trump becomes Speaker of the House. Somebody's going to make that motion.
Would be epic.
Well, that was already the social media rumor for a while there.
Yeah. So how about y'all text in if you think Phil Williams should be thrown in there?
No, let's don't do that. Don't cloud up the phone lines with that one. I wouldn't want it. That's a job that eats people alive.
So the conspiracy theorist in me goes, so what is this a distraction from?
Oh, wow. Well, there's any number of things it could be. Ukraine funding, Biden, impeachment hearings, which are ongoing right now. Speaker McCarthy is the one who actually brought the resolution to the floor. Actually, not to the floor. He issued a an order to initiate impeachment proceedings. He did not go to the floor because he knew Democrats wouldn't support it. It's a mixed bag. McCarthy, though, he's seen as a guy who goes along to get along too often, but yet he's done some bold things, like with the impeachment. He has been there on several issues that are what I would call social justice type or social issues, cultural issues. But he's not the speaker anymore. As of like 6 minutes ago, we're about to see a superpower struggle kick off. So much so that I'm questioning in my mind who it's going to be. I'm going to be reaching out tonight trying to get some folks to give us their thoughts. You guys, Brandon from Athens says either Phil Williams or Donald Trump. I don't belong on that same ballot with the president. Gary from Decatur says Tucker Carlson. That would shake things up. Man, wouldn't that indeed? David from Huntsville says, can we do the same thing with Schumer? Vote him out? I wish. That's called impeachment. You have to do an impeachment proceeding on that one. Brian from Huntsville, going back to my topics a minute ago, says military issue BDUs denied per soldier. Now I am ticked off big time. All right. Hey, listen. And then John from Huntsville says, I think McQueen ought to be the Speaker of the House. She knows how to do her pick 'em. We know that. All right. Hey, listen, quick addition to the show. Our buddy Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, is going to call in here momentarily. And now we definitely have a new topic to talk about. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, local, the state, the national, covering down on all of the issues. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. Man, I'm telling you what, there's been several times in the 2.5 year tenure of this show where we've been on the air for breaking news, and this is one of them. And here to break it down with us, let me go ahead and just bring on a friend of mine. Scott Buttram is the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, and most notably, he's an occasional guest host on Right Side Radio. Hey, Scott Buttram, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good, but Speaker Kevin McCarthy, or former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is not doing that good. I guess you've seen the vote, huh?
Yeah, he's had his better days. You know, the irony is just days ago, he was relying on Democrats to help him get the legislation passed that kept the government funded. Yeah. And those same people, if you join with either five or six Republicans to vote him out of the speaker's chair. So,
yeah.
You know, live by the Democrat vote, die by the Democrat vote. I get the feeling those folks may not be real dependable for Republicans, Phil.
No, I'd say not. And I tell you what else, too. Apparently, in this case, it's live by the Matt Gaetz vote and die by the Matt Gaetz vote. Because remember, Speaker McCarthy, what held him up on getting to be the speaker at all was Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
That was the holdout. Yeah. And then when Gaetz finally gave his vote after, you know, remember Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers had his moment on the floor. about Gates holding out. Yeah, like about got rowdy there for a second. Anyway, but the reality is, it was Gates that held out, and it's Gates that brought the motion today. And I think it was 8 Republicans total that joined with the Democrats.
Yeah, you almost, going back to the original speaker vote that you just mentioned, and if I'm not mistaken, Phil, we set a record for speaker votes before we finally settled on one.
Yeah.
Today was almost written on that day. That this would come the first time McCarthy didn't deliver on what the Freedom Caucus, or I'm not sure exactly who's in this group, but you kind of felt that at some point he wasn't going to go along with them, and they were going to use this little hitch and come back and remove him from office. And the speculation is, well, will enough Republicans go along? Well, it didn't take many, and they got all the Democrat votes. So there he is. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I think anytime I see Republicans have to join with Democrats, I don't feel like doing a touchdown dance over it. I've been frustrated with McCarthy as well, but I don't know how I feel about Gates joining with Democrats to create chaos in the Republican Party.
Well, I think what we also found, and I agree with you, by the way, that's the misgiving I have is it was technically a small group of Republicans that made it happen, but the only way it happened was with the overwhelming support of the Democrat Party to help bring chaos to the Republican caucus. But here's the other piece of that is I think what we've just seen is that the efforts or lack thereof. By McCarthy and by McConnell to just basically coast through the midterms and help us bring no true results. The fact that he did not have a supermajority to work with was his demise, because what it did was it gave an incredible amount of power to a small block, the Freedom Caucus, and the Freedom Caucus had the ability at any given time, and they just proved it, to say, it doesn't even take our whole mini caucus. We can unseat you if we want to, and oh, by the way, you can't get your votes without going to the Democrat side, and that's what he had to do on that CR.
Yeah, that's exactly what he had to do. And, you know, this really reinforces the misgivings a lot of people have about McConnell, about McCarthy, about their ties to the Republican establishment that people are just really sick and tired of.
Well, it was,
I don't know what that end of conservatism has to do to get the attention of the established Republican establishment. I mean, they put Donald Trump in the White House. That they've got wind to their sails. They've got the popular conservative vote out there among the country supporting this. But the establishment Republicans are just bound and determined to continue to do business the way they have always done it. And I see Gates and the group he leads, they're just sick of it.
Yep.
And they do speak for a large part of conservative voters out there who are tired of compromise. Here's what voters see, Phil, and you and I have seen it in our lifetime. We know that pendulum swings from right to left.
Oh, yeah.
And we understand that, and we know that it's always going to move, usually with whoever's leading the White House, whoever's got the majority in Congress, and the line is going to move. But what conservative voters are sick of is the line always moving in the same direction. And they view that as happening because of the McConnells and the McCarthys always rolling over and compromising and giving up ground. And that's where voters are putting their foot down, as they see their southern border stormed by illegal immigration. They've had enough.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and I think that sentiment needs to even grow a little further. I think that the members of Congress would do well to recognize that what just happened is probably not going to be entirely unpopular with their constituencies. But at the same time, I look at it too on the Senate side, going back to McConnell again, and I look at the midterms and how he refused and even said he would not put out a plan or an agenda to give people something to run on, because he didn't want the Democrats to have something to run against, which is just awful. That's like saying, I have no plan. Do what you can, fellas. And when it was over with, his response was, well, I never promised you a midterm Republican wave. Well, no, you never even tried to get one. How about that?
Right. Right. You sat on your hands. You did things to divide the party. He did what he has always done. If I'm McConnell, given these health spells we've seen with him, I think I would understand. I'm probably in my last lap as well.
Yeah.
In leadership, because I just don't think going forward that's the kind of leadership Republican voters want, conservative voters want. So it'll be interesting. And you know, Phil, I can't help but compare all of this going on in D.C. a little bit to Montgomery, and the way Republicans in Montgomery have consistently felt like they had to pay tribute to the Democrats.
Yeah.
They're sitting there with a supermajority.
Yeah.
Deferring to Democrats, deferring to Bobby Singleton, as if they've got any say whatsoever. I would say that the supermajority in Montgomery, you see what's happening in D.C. with a much more narrow margin. You guys probably need to start representing the conservative voters that sent you there. And you're capable. You can do it. But you haven't. Too many conservative issues have been swept under the rug by leadership on the Republican side. So do we see a repeat of this when the session rolls around in, March?
I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a bit more of what I would call red meat on the table come March. Mm-hmm. But you know, at the same time, I hope they're listening, because they do need to understand the stuff rolls downhill, because the Tea Party movement that did so much back in, you know, the 2009, 2010 timeframe, and I got to be a part of that, right. That swept it all the way down to state house level. I mean, that was, and it was, yep. it was a wholesale exodus. I mean, it was amazing. The stories I heard from the staff of the state house, how they didn't expect that. No one did. And they had the trash cans were lining the hallways as they were cleaning out senators' offices to make way for the new senators coming in.
It was a shock to most of the people in the state. I know there were a lot of us that were hoping it would happen, but that's the way it comes. That's the way it comes in almost unexpected ways.
Yeah.
Let's look at two issues that will be coming up at this special session. One is going to be school choice.
Yep.
I think some Republicans are going to have to decide, do you represent the conservative voters that sent you there, or do you represent the establishment public entities like Are you supporting the individuals? And they're going to have to make up their mind, and they're finally probably going to get it to vote. I say that almost afraid I'm jinxing it as I say that, Phil.
That's okay. I'm going to say it a whole lot of times. So if there's a jinx out there, we're going to double down on it. What's the other issue you see coming? I can imagine, but go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, I keep hearing, I filled in for Jeff Poore last week, and I talked to a lot of people, but I did talk to, I'm trying to remember which legislator said he did not, maybe it was Will Ainsworth, that said he did not believe gambling would necessarily have to be an issue. Legislators say they think a clean lottery bill may come up. They think that's going to be an issue. They would like to have that revenue to fund school choice. Remember, we've got about 80,000 Alabama students in private schools right now. So when school choice passes, provided it is for all students, it's 80,000 people that could pretty quickly apply for a voucher or a education savings account. I've heard a lot of people say they think both of those need to pass for the funding aspect to help with choice. But Will Ainsworth went out and was very clear and said, I don't agree with that. I don't think they both have to pass. And he said, he does not believe school choice is in any way, shape, or form dependent on gambling revenue. So I do see those two issues bouncing around again. My best guess is school choice will pass. I think gambling will do what it's always going to do, and somebody will throw a poison pill in, or the Forks Creek Indians will work their end of the table and get enough votes pulled away. I think we'll go another year without gambling in Alabama.
I would not be a bit surprised, but I'll be honest with you right now, I'm just still a little taken aback at the lack of faithfulness that you went down and hosted another radio show besides mine. I just I'm having to gather myself up right now, just so you know.
I did feel guilty about it. That makes
you feel
better.
All right, Scott, we got to head to a break, man. Hey, thanks for being available on short notice. I knew you'd have some insights, and I appreciate you. And we'll keep track of the situation with McCarthy and then basically who's going to be his replacement. But in the meantime, you have a great day, brother.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate all you do.
All right. Take care. All right. I ran about a minute long, but let's go ahead, Butters, and move us to a break, brother. We'll do it. We'll come right back, and I'll probably talk a little more about this McCarthy thing and take some text messages that are all popping in. You got a notion? Who do you want to see be the next Speaker of the House? Go ahead and text it in, 833-687-4448. Keep in mind, by the way, it doesn't have to be a member of Congress. 833-68-RIGHT. Who do you want to be Speaker of the House? We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making it cool to be a conservative, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, so Mark from Laredo, Tennessee, Speaker of the House, Ted Nugent. Just saying, I'm pretty sure Uncle Ted's going to have a few votes. But yeah, oh, he follows up by saying, though, but if you want some laughter, I'd say Ron White, the comedian, Ron White. Formerly of the Redneck Comedy Tour. I like Ron White.
Yeah, some tater salad.
That's right. They call me tater salad. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe from Indiana? Jeff from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing good, bud. Stuck in traffic like always.
Well, you know what? What would life be if you didn't get stuck somewhere around Nashville? Is that where you are?
That's exactly where I'm at. Never fails.
We can almost predict your route just by the things you say when you come on the air.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a Noah tracking Santa Claus or whatever.
That's right. hey, what do you think about this stuff going on in D.C. right now? Speaker McCarthy is out.
I'm excited and gleeful because he's not what we needed. I know that a lot of people don't like Matt Gaetz, but I love him. I mean, I think he's doing exactly what he should be doing.
Well, he's actually showing the democratic process is definitely at work. I mean, there's that. I mean, we have motions and procedures, and you can actually be one man and prevail.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, it's like this is the most powerful that the Freedom Caucus is going to be when they got these close numbers.
That's right.
They're basically controlling Congress right now, and if they don't do it now, when was it, what, you know, what are they going to? They're not going to wait till they're out of power, basically, and have above numbers that they couldn't do nothing. I'm glad they did what they did, and you was a youth minister, I believe, wasn't you?
Oh yeah, I sure was. Best job I ever had.
Okay, if you seen your kids playing Russian roulette, would you take the pistol away from them?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Well, that's what just happened. We're playing Russian roulette with this economy and stuff and letting these continuing resolutions going through. And, I don't even know why we have a debt ceiling because it's just like, we never paid attention to it before, so why even have it? You know, I think it was made in 1917 after World War One.
Yeah, it's just a guideline to help you budget by when they don't even budget. Well, so, all right, I'll tell you this then, Jeff. You're an astute fella. Who do you want to see be the next Speaker of the House?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Wow.
Not really, but, you know, that would be the shakeup. You know, I would love to see that because, you know, she would pull no punches and we would get things done and she would be impeaching Biden on every other day and...
I'd say pull no punches, and that might be literal because I'm pretty sure she's like an MMA fighter or something. I mean, she's always posting stuff about her workouts and everything else. So I'm pretty sure that she's going to take somebody down or put them in a headlock, one or the other.
Oh, yeah. But, my pick, Chip Roy would be a pick.
Yes.
Jim Jordan. Matt Gaetz. And actually, I would like to see Marjorie Taylor Greene have a bigger role in what happens up there, to tell you the truth, because she's not afraid of, you know, doing what really needs to be done.
I tell you who would be an interesting pick, too, and he got several nominations last time when McCarthy was up, and that was Byron Donalds from Florida. We'll wait and see, but he presents strongly when he's hard to debate. Well, listen, man, I'm heading into a break here, but you be safe on the road, and we'll keep tabs on this thing. All right.
Thank you, Phil, and you have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy. Yeah. So we are indeed heading to a break, but I'll tell you right now, it looks like Mo Brooks is already getting some traction. Got another vote from Mo Brooks from a brand new texter in the text line, Terry from Town Creek. Terry, we're glad you're with us, and thanks for that. Another vote from Mo Brooks and Tommy Tuberville from Jeremy from Huntsville. I think Tuberville's happy helping control things in the Senate. I don't think he's going to want to vote. When you're a senator and you only have to run once every 6 years, why would you go to the House and run once every 2 years? But all right, so Mo Brooks is leading the pack right now here in the mini caucus. So let's see what else we got right here. Julie in Rough Marshall County, rough as in ruffians. Julie in Rough Marshall County says, can you imagine the fear on their faces when Dale Jackson addresses the House for the first time as Speaker? That would be chaos, Julie. That's the end of times, I'm saying right there. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, headed into the go-home half hour. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show, woo, goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I tell you, somebody else who covers a lot of ground, and that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that's like all across parts of North Alabama. They're in Etowah County, they're in Calhoun County, they got five locations in Jefferson County. Listen, Southern Immediate Care, they're open 7 days a week. And folks, I'm just telling you, this is who I use personally. And I say that it's been true for a while. Southern Immediate Care is good at what they do. I mean, open 7 days a week, walk-ins are welcome. Come on in, all ages. They'll take pediatric to geriatric. And every time I have personally been, every time I walk in the door, it's clean, it's friendly, it's professional. And folks, that's what you want, right? And they can give you your shots and your x-rays and all that right there on the spot, not have to send you somewhere else. Southern Immediate Care, great staff, great work. I know the guy that owns the whole chain of these clinics, and he's a Right Side ruffian, let me tell you. So if you need to go to the doc 7 days a week, man, Southern Immediate Care, look them up online, find the location nearest to you, and when you get there, do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, let me jump over here. I will tell you this. So Congressman Barry Moore, you know, we've had a lot of talk about what just happened with McCarthy. In case you're just tuning in or just got in your car to go home from work, Kevin McCarthy, as of about 30 minutes ago, is not the Speaker of the House anymore. Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida brought a bill. It's called a motion to vacate the chair. The motion survived. That's when I realized that McCarthy had problems, because it survived the procedural vote that allowed the resolution to be heard. And then it survived, oh, by the way, a motion to table, which he lost on about 10 votes. And I thought, yep, this is going to be dicey. And then we watched the vote count going. They're up on the big screens here in the studio. And it became apparent this was going to be down to the wire. And it was. On a vote of 216 to 210, eight Republicans joining all the Democrats, Kevin McCarthy is no longer the Speaker of the House. That may be, I don't know for a fact, but that may be the shortest tenure in the history of the House of Representatives. I don't know. I mean, how long has he been there? Just like, what, 7 months? I think it wasn't February, not long after the executive branch is sworn in, when they seat everybody in Congress. And then I have to go back and look. But yeah. Anyway, Representative Barry Moore. So that motion, the Republican side of that whole effort is largely seen as a Freedom Caucus effort, but not all the Freedom Caucus. I mean, the Freedom Caucus, last I remember, it had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 36 members, which, by the way, gives them a lot of clout in a narrow majority. Well, one of the only member of Alabama's seven-person delegation from the House is in the Freedom Caucus is Congressman Barry Moore. Great guy. Serves down in the Wiregrass area. He comes from Coffee County, down there on the border with Florida. But Congressman Barry Moore is a member of the Freedom Caucus. He just issued a statement with regards to his vote on the motion to vacate, and he did not vote for it. He did not vote to vacate the chair. His statement is this. He says, Congress has 41 days left to fund the government by getting the remaining appropriations bills passed. Let's not waste them, he said. If we keep our eyes on the prize, we have a chance to do something that hasn't been done in 26 years. We can fund the government through regular order with cuts to Biden's out-of-control spending that is currently imposing a 17% inflationary tax on Americans, but not if we waste our time on infighting about the motion to vacate. So he voted against the motion to vacate, and there's his original statement on what his thinking was going into it. So there's that. That's the most, I'd say, the most conservative member of Alabama's delegation. A member of the Freedom Caucus, saying he chose not to vote for it. Got a bunch of text messages here. Man, oh my gosh, apparently I got way behind. Holy cow, I'm scrolling down. You guys are awesome today. So, yeah, Teresa from Town Greek would indeed vote for Tucker Carlson. TL from Huntsville says, when can the citizens pull the figurative fire alarm on the nonsense out-of-control government overspending? Dude, I think they just did. I'm pretty sure a signal was just seen that you don't have the votes to keep doing what you're doing. And he goes on to talk about Ukraine billions and, you know, aid to gender programs in Pakistan and all that. And I get it. I get it, man. Glenn from Bluntsville says, Trey Gowdy or Uncle Ted Nugent? So Trey Gowdy had a vote yesterday. Ted Nugent's gotten several. Mo Brooks has gotten several. Thomas from Athens says, vacate the speaker's chair was 216, 210. Who were the nine abstentions and why? I don't know, but listen, that could be as simple as there's somebody who's not seated right now. They're waiting on a special election, which I think we've got in a couple of places. That could be somebody who's out sick. It's not like you have to have unanimous 100% attendance every single day, because real life happens in Congress like real life happens back home. I mean, go down to the Honda plant in Lincoln and see if everybody's there every day. It's just not real life. Jason from Meridianville, Byron Donaldson. Is it Donaldson or Donaldson? Anyway, love to see him get a shot at leadership. I agree. I like that guy, Jason. Rita from Scottsboro, Speaker of the House. I vote for Jesus. Wow. Rita, I'm telling you what, if you know something I don't know, but I'm pretty sure when they blow that trumpet and he comes back, he's not going to sit in one place.
Certainly not as small as the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I'm saying. He's already the Speaker of my House. How about that? Robbie from Oneonta says, Donald Trump Jr., wouldn't that be something? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that'd be a whole new day. Gary from Decatur says, going to be interesting to see what happens to Dale Strong now being the junior congressman from Alabama. Not sure what you mean by that. You talking about the vote, Gary? Tell me what you mean. Just go ahead and elaborate. Brand spanking new in the text lines, John from Harvest. That's John, J-O-N. John from Harvest says, how about Newt Gingrich for Speaker? He actually accomplished things as Speaker. By the way, it's his first time texting, but been enjoying the show for a while. Well, we're glad you're in the text string, brother. You are now among 1,000 ruffians who text the show. What else we got here? Byron Donalds for speaker, says Karen from Vestavia Hills. Or Matt Gaetz. Wow. Okay. Let me read that again. Karen from Vestavia Hills. I'll read your whole text this time. Byron Donalds for speaker, or Tucker Carlson, or Matt Gaetz. That's a lineup. There you go. Ryan from Hazel Green says, I'll take Andy Frisella. Who? Who's Andy Frisella? Can you look that up for me while I'm talking over here?
Andy Frisella. All right, I'll look it up.
F-R-I-S-E-L-L-A. I'm trying to think. Is that like a character from, Lord of the Rings? What is that? Andy Frisella. So if you don't know who he is, look him up. Okay, thanks. Fair warning. He doesn't censor himself in the slightest. Pretty sure he's not who we want, but okay. We'll see. Ryan from Hazel Green. Got opinions. Steve-O from Madison. Steve-O from Madison says, the radical right of our party is making us look like we cannot govern. I don't know if that's true. Think about this, Steve. So here's the deal. What you just saw was democracy. All right? We don't have to like it for it to still be democracy. Governing is not always pretty. And governing in a democracy is rarely pretty. Governing in a democracy means things change, they shift, they move with the sentiments of the people. The people may have more say than they would in a monarchy or in a tyranny. And there are some who believe that we're in a tyranny of a different sort. I get it. I understand the sentiment. But the reality is what you just saw, by the fact that a midterm election occurred last year in which one party was thrown into the minority where they had been in the majority, but not by a large margin, just by a small margin, gave another group within the majority more sway. That group within the majority just flexed their muscles. They were elected, that group within the majority, they were elected by their constituents to be more conservative than the average member of their caucus. And that's why they joined together and called themselves the Freedom Caucus. They're still Republicans, but there are many caucus within the larger caucus. All that to say, what you just saw was that democracy happen in the midterms that flowed into what you saw just happen just now when a group of people can band together and literally change the leadership of government. And it ain't pretty, Steve-O, but it's democracy. And there it is. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, being serious now, Senator John Kennedy. Oh, have you seen? I love me some John Kennedy. That man, he'll get up there. But again, bro, he's not going to leave the Senate and go down to the House. I mean, that's like, saying, hey, I feel like making myself miserable every 2 years having to run for my seat again. Of course, he does look like he's getting pushing 80, so I don't know how old he is. Brian from Hunt says, Mo Brooks, good choice. Mel Brooks, if you want to have fun. brand new in the text line, did not give us their name, so give us your name and where you're from. But he says, Gaetz seems to have a strategy. Objective has been to stop omnibus bills, get back to single-issue bills. Interestingly, that seems like something that conservatives could get behind, but Republicans, not so much. Pointing out something there, anonymous texter, by the way, tell us who you are. I won't read your stuff again. But what you just said there is what I've been saying quite often. There's a difference between being a Republican and being a conservative. You can be a Republican and be as squishy as a Mitt Romney. You know what I'm saying?
So I posted a picture there on our you should have it on the Google Doc.
I don't see it, but, oh, I do see it. That's Andy Frisella?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's not going to get the speakership. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure we can talk too much about what he talks about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that at least not the way he talks about it. How about that?
Nah.
All right, move us to a break, brother. We will do that right now. Listen, we're coming into the final moments here. This has consumed the last part of the show, but that's what we do. We come in with a triple dipper, but, man, we are not opposed to recognizing that when news breaks, it might impact your life. And right now, what you've got is a situation where the Speaker of the House is no more. You woke up with Kevin McCarthy. You're going to bed with an empty seat. The question now is, who fills it next? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back.
Yeah.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I gotta tell you who else makes common sense like a superpower, and that's ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, man, they've been with us since the very beginning, and ZLA Solutions is like epic good at what they do. Listen, here's the deal. If your business needs assistance with something, just consider this. They can provide all kinds of business end solutions. They'll come in and help you with like things like sorting and containment, quality control, refining your processes, your logistics, your warehousing, all that. But man, they will also help you find the people you need. So if you need people, I'm just saying that ZLA Solutions is known for this. They're working with big name employers all over our listening area and beyond. And they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. I always say blue collar, white collar, or no collar, it don't matter. So yeah, ZLA Solutions. Here's their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. They are there to help you. Check them out. And when you do, by the way, please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Okay, listen, I got to fill in some blanks here.
Do you think ZLA could find us a Speaker of the House?
Oh, you know, blue collar, white collar, no collar speaker. What? Hello, ZLA, can you start recruiting now? Thank you very much. I may have to call and tell them they got a free extra piece of the ad right there on this discussion. Hey, so by the way, I was wrong. You heard it. I said it here. But I thought that Speaker of the House had been maybe a time or two before. No, it turns out Kevin McCarthy is the first speaker in the history of the United States House of Representatives to be removed or ousted from his position by vote of the body. That is an epic moment in U.S. history right there. You're looking at something, and what are we looking at here? How many years are we talking about? I got to look. I think I saw 243 years. But the Speaker of the House, under the rules of the House, never been done before. My thought was John Boehner. I was thinking, did John Boehner get ousted? No, what happened was John Boehner couldn't contend with the Freedom Caucus and began to get disillusioned with his own ability to lead. So John Boehner actually resigned of his own volition. So yes, the Freedom Caucus may have had a role in Boehner's demise. Same would be true of Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's not there anymore. They recognize they were not able to lead from the center, because that's not true leadership. And by the way, go along to get along is not necessarily leadership. There are times you have to be out front leading in a new direction. And Kevin McCarthy, first in the history of the United States to be ousted on a vote. And by the way, here are the eight Republicans that voted against him. Gates, of course, Representative Good, Representative Buck, Representative Mace, Representative Rosendale, Representative Burchett, Representative Biggs, Andy Biggs of Arizona, chair of the Freedom Caucus, and Representative Crane. There were three members of the body who were Republicans. I don't know where they're from, Sparks, Mills, and Davidson, who voted against tabling the motion, but then they wound up voting for McCarthy. So, you know, what they did there was they allowed they basically gave their vote to allow it to be proceed forward, but they were not going to vote on the final to oust him, apparently. So, yeah, anyway, there you have it. Eight Republicans voted against McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, now the very first ever Speaker of the House of Representatives to be ousted on a vote of the people. That's not an asterisk you want by your name. You know what I'm saying, bro? No.
I mean, I'm all about being part of history, but mm-mm.
Yeah, let's put that on your LinkedIn. just saying.
Although you write a book, you're kind of set for life.
Well, he may have a job on CNN or MSNBC, but I mean, he's not gone. He's still in Congress. He's back among the ranks as opposed to being the leader. And he'll probably be given a chairmanship of some kind. Who knows? Michael from Madison says, whoever that crazy fun person is that runs Wendy's Twitter account. Oh, nice. All right. Oh, John from Huntsville. Phil, I just deducted 10 points off your final grade. What did I do? I don't know what I did. But he did say, is this yesterday or today? He said, oh, okay. He says, Butters did such a fantastic job today. I gave him 10 extra credit points, which makes his final grade for the day an A double plus. Phil, you did a pretty good job today, so you get an A plus, which means Butters, you're today's winner. Congratulations. And then something happened. He just took 10 points off my grade. So I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Either way, I still win. So I appreciate that.
Apparently you do. And don't let it go to your head. All right, here we go. The parts guy from Albertville says, I would like to look at this as a sign. I would like to look at this as a sign to the next speaker. There you go. That issues need to be addressed, not just more same old thing. Or, you know, okay. I think what he's trying to say is, don't give us more the same old, same old. Appreciate you, parts guy. Glenn from Bluntsville, I changed my mind. Boomer for speaker. Oh, there you go. All right.
Nice.
Tony from Decatur, brand new in the text line. Tony from Decatur says, hey, Phil, not that it's within the realm of possibility, but with the Speaker of the House vacated, how does it affect the line of succession to the presidency? Wow. That's a great question. Speaker pro tem, maybe?
Something to look up overnight.
For the time being, the Speaker pro tem might be? I don't have a question for you. Let's hope that the China doesn't hit Taiwan tonight. How about that? All right, y'all, listen. I can guarantee you what's on tomorrow's agenda. Y'all stay tuned for that. I've already reached out to a few members of our congressional delegation trying to get one of them on the show for tomorrow. In the meantime, have an amazing night. Phil and Butters, we'll see you tomorrow.